Sure it is. No, there it is. It's simple to make it go. Our mission is to be a spiritually healthy family, make authentic disciples of Jesus, reflect his wholeness, and be transformed through worship and outreach, discipleship, community, and ministry. Well, you'll notice that discipleship comes up twice in here. You know, earlier on we talked about making authentic disciples, and we felt like we needed to put that in. That was pretty important. The Great Commission in Matthew 28 doesn't just tell us to go out and make people pray a sinner's prayer. The Great Commission in Matthew 28 tells us to go out and make disciples. And there's a difference between beginning and continuing, isn't there? We are called to make not just one-time converts, but we're called to make disciples. That's one of the things I really respected about Billy Graham, you know, that I don't know if you got a chance to see the funeral or watch it this week. It was a pretty inspiring piece and a great opportunity to hear the gospel. Just phenomenal. But one of the things I really respected about Billy Graham was that he didn't just have people pray the sinner's prayer and leave them as spiritual orphans. All of us, when I worked as an altar counselor at one particular event, and all of us were given very strict instructions to help to get information about the person for one particular reason, not so that we could count the number of souls, but so that we could help them get into a local church. And all across the area, anytime there was a crusade, people were praying during the crusade time, during those preaching times, and people were also ready to receive people who came to know the Lord Jesus through those times and to disciple them and help them to learn and to grow and to walk with Christ through their entire lives. That's very, very important. We talked about authentic disciples, because given the world that we live in right now, we can no longer assume that just because a person calls themselves a Christian, that they're actually following Christ. And I say this very carefully and not judgmentally, but there are lots of people who come onto the television these days and proclaim themselves to be Christians, and some of them doing some rather horrible things, and they are not really representative of the cause of Christ Jesus. And so we want to be more than just Christians in name only. We want to be Christians in fact, Christians in practice, and in every part of our lives. The people of this world are searching for authenticity, for something real. And when we live real, authentic lives for Jesus as disciples of Christ, then people are attracted to that. And people begin to see the Jesus who is revealed in you the way that he intends. Well, today we are talking about being transformed through discipleship, which is to take this a step further. We've talked about worship. We've talked about evangelism. Alongside these things, we hold discipleship as equally important in the calling of the church. Discipleship is all about becoming and being a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus. And as a church, we're all about following Jesus. And we want to follow Jesus as closely as we can, don't we? We want to talk about discipleship transforming on two fronts today. We want to talk about how discipleship changes a person's life, especially a new believer, as they begin to learn about Jesus and be changed. And we also want to talk about what it is to be a follower of Jesus and continue to be a disciple of Christ. Last week we had Shannon Banshoff, our former associate pastor, come and share his testimony about how he came to Christ. I've invited Shannon to come back this week and do sort of a second part of this, because he didn't just come and pray to receive Jesus, but he was brought through a process of learning and growing. And so I'd like him to come and share about that right now, if you would do that, Shannon. Thank you.
It's interesting that I didn't know how John would lead into that. And I'm encouraged because the word choices that he's used to already just begin the discussion about discipleship, I'm going to use a lot of the same words as kind of echoing really a lot of what he just said. You know, when God allows us this awesome privilege and opportunity to to lead someone to a saving knowledge of God's salvation. And it's not enough to just be part of that process. We're also given the same responsibility to ensure that this person who comes into the kingdom is nurtured and comforted and encouraged and cared for, admonished even. It's a lot like a stranger coming into a new land, a foreigner. We are all foreigners when we came to the kingdom of God. And this person now needs to learn how to be one of us, needs to learn how to live as God would be pleased with them to live. This is a lot like being a parent, being a spiritual parent. And John mentioned authentic disciples. What we're talking about is disciples that are making disciples, reproducing themselves in others. And we want to see them live in a way that pleases God, but we also want to help them to learn how to pray, to learn how to listen to God, to hear His voice, to distinguish His voice from other things that where we might read about or whatever, and practice, like discovering and practicing using our spiritual gifts. And God's calling each one of us to do certain things for Him, for the kingdom. And we need to learn how to sense what that is that He's calling us to do. And there's wonderful examples of this in the scripture. You have Moses and Joshua. You have Ruth and Naomi. You have Elijah and Elijah. You have Jesus and the disciples. You have Paul and Timothy. These are wonderful examples of mentoring and spiritual parenting. I mentioned, if you were here last week, you would have remembered, or you would recall that I touched on a part of my journey where Doug Miller, the former associate pastor here, walked with me through that process. He was part of me coming to know the Lord, but then he was a very integral part in me growing in my faith and learning how to be a disciple that reproduces and makes more disciples. And one of the ways that he did that, the primary way, was using discipleship materials, books that would, we would memorize scripture together. We would work through these books, and I would learn how to hear the voice of the Lord. I loved memorizing scripture because I could check them off my list. And each time I finished a book, there was a place in the back where I got Doug's signature that said completed. And it was like, I don't know what it was, but it was just the best thing to know that I was on my way. And one of the things that Doug used to always say to me is, "You're doing it. You're doing it." And those words still to this day just ring out in my brain. You know, "You're doing it." And that doing that with him once a week for about an hour and a half, sometimes it would go much longer because we would just be enjoying it so much. It's what made me a leader, and it made me want to see people come to know the Lord. And I remember when I started to replicate that, when God would use me to lead people to the Lord, I would start the same process. I would start leading them through the materials. And I grew a lot in my faith when Doug was leading me through these materials. Nothing was more, I grew so much more when I started doing it with other people, because now I had to come up with the answers to a lot of these things. And I loved doing it. I would go back to Doug. I would go to the scripture. I would ask, they have this question. And anyway, I can't say enough about whenever it's your turn to walk with someone in their faith journey and to be a spiritual mentor and a parent to them. It's where growth and transformation happens in your own life. I want to leave you with this one scripture that I think there are so many wonderful scriptures that you could use to sort of support what I'm sharing here, but I chose this one. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and it starts here in verse 7. And it says, "Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well." And then picking up in verse 11, it says, "For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory."
Thanks, Shannon. So maybe God will call on you to be part of the mentoring process. Got lots of ringing going on here. I'll go to the other one if I have to. I know how to use it. On Friday afternoon, I watched the Billy Graham funeral, as I'm sure many of you did. And I would encourage you, if you didn't see it, to look it up on YouTube. It is well worth watching because it speaks loud and clear of what we're talking about. He talked about spiritual parenting. Here we had some wonderful examples of a different kind of parenting, you know, parenting generational discipleship. We had Billy Graham's sister came up and shared and talked about faith in Christ and how they grew up in their home and how they learned. And then, one by one, Billy Graham's children got up and began to share about the faith that they had. And some of them had wandered, and some of them had been through some difficult situations. And to see the way that their dad loved them and brought them back and was an example of Jesus to them so that they could follow after. I love Ruth Graham's statement. She said, "My father was not God, but he showed me what God looked like." And I thought that was powerful. I was very moved by that. You know, each child, as they shared a little bit about their father, also did a presentation of the gospel of Jesus, which was also impressive because you could tell it was very heartfelt. The last person to speak in the group was Nelson, who was the youngest son. And, he's had his own struggles, but God has brought him back into the fold very strongly. And he's a pastor and doing a lot of wonderful things. He said, and you've probably heard this before, but he said, "My father was fat." He said he was faithful, available, and teachable. He was fat. Well, I like that very much. I've heard it before, but you know, as I thought about it, I thought, what a great description of what a disciple is. You know, and the process of transformational discipleship. You know, what does that mean? To be fat, to be faithful, to be available, and to be teachable. Well, a disciple, first of all, is faithful. He or she is faithful to God. John 8, 31 and 32 says, "To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my discipleships, or my disciples, rather. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" Well, it's one thing to believe in Jesus in the middle of a crisis, you know, and come running to God when we're in trouble. But it's another thing to continue with God regardless of the circumstances that you go through, no matter what. And so sometimes people trust God or trust Jesus when they're desperate, and then as things are going well, they begin to neglect that relationship and it kind of drifts away. Or the opposite is true. It kind of turns around the other way too. Things get tough, and because we have a very superstitious view of God, We have a view of God that's filled with magical thinking instead of filled with the scriptural understanding of who Jesus is. And so we think that, you know, if we just come to faith in Jesus, everything's going to change immediately. Magically, all the bad stuff I've done will have no consequences, you know, and all the things that I have in my life that need changing, well, it's just going to automatically change because now I got Jesus. And it doesn't really work like that. You know, like Shannon said, there's a process of transformation as we learn more about who Jesus is and learn scriptures and begin to memorize scripture as he did with Doug and, you know, begin to walk. And then we get to that point where we're able to share that same thing with someone else. But, you know, sometimes when things get tough as Christians, we just wander away. We just give up. We just, you know, we have this, well, God didn't step in and fix that. Therefore, I'm not going to listen to him. I'm not going to follow after him. But, you know, we are called to a faithful discipleship. We're called to be faithful in that relationship with God and to follow him and not push him away when things get tough. In fact, sometimes that's the time when we got to cling the most and hang on for dear life. We hold on tight in the good times and in the bad. And I'll tell you something. If you hang on to Jesus in the really tough times, it'll change you. It'll transform you. You will become more like Christ. He'll be working in your life. You know, be faithful and loyal. In any time is difficult. You know, we live in a time when faithfulness and loyalty, they're not really high values, are they? We see people, you know, we flit about from this to that. You know, we're so flaky sometimes as Christians. But Jesus calls us to be faithful. And you know, life is fragile, but God himself is very faithful. In fact, he is described again and again throughout Scripture as faithful. One of my favorite excerpts that you find in Psalm 86, but you find it repeated over and over in numerous places, almost these exact words, "But you, Lord, are compassionate and a gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." What does it mean to be abounding with something? Overflowing with something. I got a whole bunch of it, right? Our God has a lot of faithfulness, and it's repeated. So even Jonah, when he was angry at God, is angry at God because these are God's characteristics. This is God's character, is that he is faithful and he's compassionate and he's loving. And of course, he's mad because he knows that God is going to forgive the people of Nineveh if he preaches the message of God. God's character is dependable. It never changes. And God is faithful with us. 2 Timothy 2:13 tells us that even when we're not very faithful, even when we lack faith, God still is faithful to us and hangs on to us. He clings to us. And so we are called as disciples, first of all, to be faithful. Second thing is we are called to be available. A disciple is available to whom? Well, first of all, he's available to God. What work of God would get done if we're not available to him? You know, when we were about 18, my brother-in-law and I were really into cars, and we both had cars, and he bought a Ford Torino. And this thing had been modified for racing. It had a big engine in it. It had these, you know, these dual Weber carbs on top that when you put your foot down, your gas tank emptied. You know, this was a pretty mean machine, and it had a special rear end put in it, which was very high torque for drag racing. And you could stomp your foot on the ground, and it would lift the front end right up off the ground. It was scary, and it didn't have wheelie wheels, so that was even scarier. I hated to get in it with him. But you know, that wasn't much danger because he couldn't afford the insurance to put it on the road. And so he had this powerful car, this car that was modified for racing, this car with all this torque for drag racing, and he never had enough money to pay for the insurance to cover the cost of putting it on the road. And so this very powerful car sat in the parking lot at my parents' hotel and really never went anywhere for 2 years, except maybe a couple of times when we snuck it out. But other than that, it just sat there and did nothing. Well, I'd like you to think about discipleship in those terms. You know, here Jesus has equipped you with everything you need to do what Shannon was talking about this morning, to reproduce yourself as a Christian, to share your faith. We talked about that last week, to share your faith, and then to not only to share your faith, but maybe to mentor somebody, to walk alongside somebody and see them grow as a Christian. And I know some of you have had that experience, and there is nothing like that experience. Like Shannon said, you grow more through doing that than almost any other thing. It's a powerful thing. But you know, if we're not available to God, then none of that happens. You know, you're like that car with the powerful engine and the high torque rear end ready for drag racing. That's the way God equipped you. God empowered you. He gives you His Holy Spirit. He's there and He says, I'll go with you and I'll walk with you. If you go, lo, I will be with you always, even if you go to the end of the earth, He says. That's our God. But if you're not available to God, you do nothing like that car. It just sits there. And it doesn't do any drag racing, and it's not a lot of fun. It just sits there. You know, we grow as Christians as we are available to God. But not only that, you know, He empowers us and equips us, and He asks us to remain available. But think about all of the things that don't get done if we aren't available to God. The poor remain unfed. Those who need clothing remain naked. The sick are uncared for. Those in jail are not visited. The unsaved remain lost in sin if you aren't available. And guess what? You'll never grow spiritually. Never. If you just become this, if you hold it all in, you'll never grow. But if you make yourself available to God to direct you, He will powerfully do that. And if you make yourself available to others, as He has also enabled you because of the gifts that He's put in you, you will find that you will grow at a scale that you never thought possible. I promise you, if you go before God and you say like Isaiah did, in Isaiah 6:8, he says, you know, he's in the throne room of God. He has this vision. And God says, who will go? He didn't say, Isaiah, you go. You know, He told Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, right? That's a specific call. This is a general call. He says, who will go? And Isaiah, under the power of God and just feeling this drawing, this compulsion to follow God, says, here I am, send me. That's being available. Up until that time, Isaiah wasn't much of a big deal. Follow his exploits beyond that and see that Isaiah is the one who gets to communicate the message of the coming Christ. So powerful that chapter 53 of Isaiah, which speaks to the coming Jesus, isn't even read in synagogues because they're so afraid that people will see Jesus in it. Here I am. Send me, and you will be transformed, and you will learn to use your gifts. You know, you only learn to use your spiritual gifts when you use them. You know, it's true. You have them, but you only get to learn how to use them as you're doing it. And I remember when I was about 13 or 14, my father loved to sail. That was one of his things. He just loved to sail. He grew up on the ocean in England, and he was sailing a little dinghy by the time he was about 13 or 14. So at about that age, he decided I should learn to sail. So he sent me down to the Junior Yacht Club, which was not too far from where we lived. It was just, you know, a bunch of old boats in a harbor. That was the yacht club. And I learned how to sail a boat. And we would take these old dinghies out, and we would, you know, get them out on the water. And one of the first things they did to us, was they dumped the boat upside down. I mean, completely turtled it with the sail pointing straight down into the water like a keel, and the keel sticking up on top. And the first thing we had to do, now they didn't tell us what to do. We're all in our life jackets, and we're all kind of bobbing along and floating along. And the instructor, she says, okay, fix it. No instructions. Nothing. Well, you know, we tried every which way we could to right that thing. And she said, now watch. And she climbed up onto the bottom part of the boat, and she wrapped her arms around the keel and just leaned backwards. And that boat laid over, and then she got the rest of us to stand on the keel and to hold on to the gunwale, and that boat just righted itself. It popped right up out of the water, and that was one of the first things we learned to do. Without instructions, we were lost. But with the instructor, with somebody who knew what they were doing, who knew how to sail, we also learned how to sail. We learned how to do things. And that was really important. We have to be available for God to teach us. We have to be available for others to speak into our lives so that we learn the things that we need to be disciples of Christ. And then we have to be that instructor, that mentor who shows us the way so that we can right the boat when the boat falls over, so that we can sail the boat and make it go somewhere. Well, the third part of that fat illustration is we need to be teachable. You know, one of the basic meanings of the word disciple is to be a student of a particular teacher, to be a follower in more than just name. Jesus' disciples didn't just follow him around like a bunch of lost puppies. They did more than that. They observed and they listened, and he taught them. And you'll see that mentoring process that Shannon was talking about. You know, you see that in the lives of the disciples. He shows them, he tells them, and then he sends them out to do it. So that there's this hands-on thing that happens. And they come back rejoicing all the things that were happening. It's a wonderful thing. A teachable spirit is imperative for a disciple. If we don't have a teachable spirit, we're not going to learn anything. If you think that you know everything there is to know about Jesus and about his Bible and about, you know, the life of Christ and how we can follow him, if you think you know everything there is to know about that, then you likely are not very teachable. It means you've stopped growing, you've stopped learning, you've stopped looking for answers. We have to be teachable, both by knowledge and by doing. You know, as a leader, I have to be teachable. I have to learn. I have to grow. Now, I hope I die with a book in my hand. You know, I love to learn. But I don't just want to learn it up here. I want to learn how to do it. I want to learn how to sail the boat. I want to learn how to make the process work. I want to help people to grow in Christ Jesus. It's one of the things I just love to do. And I love to do what Shannon was talking about this morning. I love that one-on-one discipleship stuff. It is so cool. But I have to be willing to learn first. If I stop learning, if I stop opening myself to what Jesus wants to teach me about how I can follow him and about what his word says, if I think I know it all, then I really stop growing. And if I stop being teachable as a pastor, it's time for me to step down. Because I'm not going to be able to teach you anything unless I'm learning myself. In Matthew 11:29, it says, no, it's not coming up, but Jesus says, Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, go back to those words. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from me. You know there's a cost to following Jesus, don't you? Do you know that being a disciple has a cost? It'll only cost you one small thing, though. Everything. Everything. Every little thing. Every part. You have to put your whole life in Jesus' hands. But you know what? You can trust him with your whole life, with everything that you put in his hands. Because he is gentle, and because he is humble of heart, and because he's offered you rest for your soul. Now, let me say this as I wrap up. You know, there's a whole lot more we could say about discipleship, but let me just say this, that trusting him with everything that you have and everything that you are, it produces some pretty amazing things. We follow Jesus as best we can. We're not superhuman. And we're not superstars. We didn't get called to be superstars. We just got called to follow Jesus. And when we do that, our whole lives are transformed. Our lives are changed. You know, as a disciple, you sometimes have to say no to temptations and things, and even some things of this world that might be perfectly all right for somebody else, but God says to you, if you're going to follow me, you need to leave that behind. That's going to happen sometimes. And that's a hard path to follow. And sometimes we're going to have to follow him through trials and sufferings and loneliness and more. But through it all, Jesus is with you. Every single step of the way. When we walk with Jesus, we are transformed. So to borrow again from this fat analogy, we need to be faithful and available and teachable. We need to walk with God and allow him to walk with you. And you will be transformed. And remember, we defined transformation a couple of weeks ago as being more like Jesus. And this world needs a whole lot more of Jesus, doesn't it? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for helping us to understand a little more about what it is to be a disciple. We want to follow after you. We want to be obedient to you. We don't want to have all this power and equipping that you've given us and have it just sit there. Help us to be available to you, to be faithful, and to be teachable. Transform us, change us, and allow us to mentor others as we're given that opportunity. And to be willing to have people speak into our lives so that we can hear your voice and grow. We love you. We want to be your disciples. Make us true disciples, true followers, willing to put everything that we are and everything we have in you, in your hands. We ask your leading, and we ask for change, for transformation, even though that's scary. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.